That was the trumpet player Alison Balsam in performance with the English concert led by Trevor Pinnock. We heard music by George Frederick Handel from what's called a water piece here. This one happens to come from the water music. It's sort of from an adaptation made by Trevor Pinnock. The jig from the water music. And Alison Balsam is going to be performing tonight at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, along with a string orchestra called the Scottish Ensemble. And more about that in a moment. We've got one of their players going to join us live in this first portion of the show of Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and this is a program that brings you local performances or information about local performances. Coming up later on the show, I will be broadcasting an interview that we had hoped to have had pulled together for a Monday, and we had to reschedule with Julie Fowlis, who is a Scottish singer, who is going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And much more about that and some of her singing coming up at around 4:25 or so. But as it happens, I got an email from a fellow named Alistair Savage. Hopefully I'm saying his name, last name right, that he was coming to our community with the Scottish Ensemble, which of course is a classical string orchestra, but he also plays traditional Scottish fiddle and was looking for some radio play. And I said, well, I don't know, what has that got to do with that particular concert? But then I thought, well, why not? Just for the heck of it. But also we do get a chance to mention that that concert is going on. So, Alistair, thanks for getting in touch with me, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
The Scottish Ensemble, since you are playing with that group, why don't you tell us a little bit about that group? How it came together and so on.
Well, the Scottish Ensemble itself, I think, has been together since the 1960s. It was originally founded by a gentleman called Leonard Friedman, who was a fantastic violinist working in Scotland. And originally it was the Scottish Baroque Ensemble, was the name of the group. But eventually it progressed to being simply the Scottish Ensemble. And in its present form, I think there's about 15 of us on stage performing in these concerts. That's slightly larger than normal in Scotland. The group normally plays with 11 or 12 players.
So is there an extra few in order?
There's an extra few. I mean, I'm actually one of the extra few. I used to play full time with a group maybe about 20 years ago, when I first started freelancing in Scotland. But for the last 16 years or so, I've been playing with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra in Glasgow. So playing sort of more sporadically with the ensemble. So this. On this tour, because they were building up the numbers, I had the great privilege of being asked to come along as a player that's been associated with the group for a number of years now, and take part in this wonderful tour. And it's a fantastic group. I mean, the Scottish Ensemble is there's quite a few Scottish-based players in the group. There's also quite a few players who are based in London and who travel up to perform with the group. So it's a great privilege actually to play with them. It's a real select group of fabulous string players, both from Scotland and from further afield, led by a fantastic violinist called Jonathan Morton, who himself is based in London but has been artistic director of the ensemble, I think, probably for about 10 years now. I think previous to that, it was his wife, Cleo Gould, who was the artistic director. So he's kind of carried on the family tradition by leading the group.
Well, speaking of tradition, I understand you're sort of coming back to your own musical roots, playing traditional music.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and reviving it for yourself with a band that you call the Alistair Savage Trio.
Yeah. My starting point as a fiddle player was in traditional Scottish music. My dad is an accordion player, and in Scotland we have a lot of what we call Strathspey and reel societies. Mm-hmm. which kind of specialise in traditional Scottish music and the performance of Scottish music. So my starting point was in the traditional fiddle music of Scotland. And from that, I progressed to studying classical music. And I've always just kind of lived in both worlds, the classical world and the traditional world. And I suppose for myself, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I felt the call to be more full on with the Scottish music. It's kind of always been in my heart. It's always been a sort of big passion to play the music of Scotland. And I had a strong feeling of getting back to doing more of that. So the albums that I've made in Scotland have been with two fantastic Scottish musicians, Ian Crawford, who's a tremendous double bass player based in Glasgow, and an equally wonderful guitarist and piano player called Ewan Drysdale. Both of them have been supportive and instrumental in the music that we've recorded together.
Well, and we'll hear a little bit from one of those albums coming up a little later, but since you brought your fiddle along, why don't we hear a set of tunes I think you're going to do?
Yeah, we're going to do something from the 18th century in Scotland, a set of tunes by one of our most famous fiddle composers, Neil Gow, from Perthshire. And he was one of the stars of the 18th century and somebody I've always revered in the fiddle world. So I'm going to do three tunes by him. The first one's called Farewell to Whiskey. The second one's called Highland Whiskey. And the third tune is called Miss M. Stewart. So these are three tunes by Neil Gow.
Nothing about whiskey in that, do
you? There's the last one, there's nothing about whiskey.
Yeah.
The first one, Farewell to Whiskey, was actually written during a barley shortage in Scotland, during the latter part of the 18th century. And the government decreed that all the barley had to be used for human consumption.
Hmm.
So the poor workers in Perthshire were deprived of their most favourite tipple. So he wrote this lament for the workers of Perthshire at that time.
Okay, it's Alistair Savage live in our studio. He's actually in town to play with the Scottish Ensemble Classical Music at the Cranert Centre tonight in Urbana at 7:30. Alistair Savage live in our studio, a set of tunes. It sounded like you snuck something in right at the end. It seemed completely out of character. It almost sounded like it came out of some big orchestral piece. You know?
Well, yeah, that was me rather than Neil Gow at that point.
Yeah, I thought perhaps so.
It's always trying to get the right balance of respect to the guy that's actually written the music and...
I said traditional tune, sorry. How do you spell his last name, by the way?
Gow is G-O-W.
G-O-W, okay.
And his first name, Neil, is usually Neil spelled N-E-I-L, but he spelt it rather unusually, N-I-E-L. And I constantly have to phone people up who've printed programs and tell them that the spelling of his name is wrong. And but he was a real star of the... I always refer to him as being the godfather of the Scottish fiddle. I mean, at that time, there was so many fantastic contemporaries of his who played fiddle music. In the 18th century was a real kind of resurgent point in Scottish fiddle music. And there was many other people, a gentleman called William Marshall, who was around at that time, and people like Robert McIntosh. And then later, the following century, James Scott Skinner was, I suppose, the most famous of the fiddle composers. But I always think of Neil Gow as being one of the great forebearers of the resurgence of fiddle music. And his legacy exists to today in Scotland. He's still very much celebrated, and his music is played by many, many fiddle players.
So when you say a fiddle composer, that means... somebody who plays the fiddle and also wrote for the fiddle.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, the tradition was really for people to... for the players, the performers of the day, to kind of carry on the fiddle tradition. And that still exists in Scotland today. Any of us that attempt to write tunes are in some way, I think, inspired by those great fiddle players from the past. And it's very strong. When I started playing the fiddle, I had a very strong sense of that history. It's very much in Scotland kind of instilled into you as a fiddle player. That's that great sense of history in the music. And Neil Gow was one of the people who's still... very much sort of providing inspiration for this generation and past generations and the next generation as well, I'm sure. There's a very strong tradition in Scotland of both playing and writing tunes. The two kind of go together very much.
Well, and you're speaking from first-hand experience because you combine both of those, as we'll hear in just a moment. We're talking with Alistair Savage, who is actually here in Urbana to play at the Krannert Center with a classical string orchestra called the Scottish Ensemble and featuring English trumpeter Alison Balsam. That's going to be at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30, and he happened to be interested in doing some of these traditional tunes as well. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, this Saturday, April 20th, from 3 to 6 p.m. It's a tasting of Spanish wines with Diane Stasky of Marketplace, followed by live music from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar with the traditional jazz orchestra. Details are on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. Before we ask a little bit about how you've picked up maybe on some of these traditions, occasionally people have asked me, you know, what's the difference between a fiddle and a violin? And the answer is, of course, what the music that it plays.
Yeah.
But I am curious, do you use the same instrument when you're doing what you're doing now and when you're playing with the Scottish Ensemble doing classical
stuff?
Yes,
it's exactly the same instrument. For me, there's never been a difference in the instrument I've played on. I've always played classical and traditional music on the same instrument. I mean, it's the same fiddle. Obviously, in a tour like this as well, it's only really possible to carry one fiddle. And even that can prove difficult. I actually left my fiddle on the flight from New York to Texas the other day. And I remembered just as I was leaving the aeroplane and run back on to get it. So even remembering one violin
can be
tricky for some of us, yeah.
Do you, I was actually trying to pay attention, do you, I didn't notice if you choke up a little bit on the bow for this kind of music or not?
It depends a lot. Different people prefer different things. I mean, one of the things, I don't make an obvious difference, to be honest, between playing the trad stuff and the classical stuff. Some players like a tighter bow, although one of the issues very often on a tour like this is because of the humidity in the hall, the bow can tighten by itself very easily. So if anything, one always starts the concerts with a slightly slacker bow. Obviously, in halls where it's dry rather than humid, the opposite is the case.
And then you just adjust it.
You just adjust it, yeah. You just have to make tiny adjustments during the course of the performance. But like I say, particularly in humid places, in fact, I mean, in here, it's quite warm in here at the moment. So the bow will tighten very slightly by itself.
So when you get over to the Kreiner Center for your rehearsal in about 40 minutes, you might need to make some. Well, and then you're going to be out in the rain, so
yeah, you've got to make a little bit of an adjustment. And it's very often it's just it's kind of as you go. You know, you just in between movements of the piece, or you know, even as you play, you get two or three bars rest and just have to adjust very slightly if there's any change in the way the bow is set up.
Well, we have a sadly short amount of time to spend with you today, since I knew I was going to be talking with Julie Fowlis as well, your countrywoman, I guess.
Yes.
I guess you're familiar with her singing.
I'm familiar with her stuff. I don't think I've ever met her.
Met her, yeah.
But she's got a fantastic reputation in Scotland.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Fantastic. I mean, when we talk about the fiddle tradition, the song tradition in Scotland is just as strong. And, she's one of the people who's... one of the shining lights of the vocal world in Scotland. And she's one of many people carrying on another angle of the tradition, the vocal tradition.
Yeah. And specifically in the Scots Gaelic as well.
Yeah, I mean, the in Scotland there's still quite a few singers. I mean, that's a whole part of Scottish culture, is the Gaelic speakers and of the west coast of Scotland. There's a lot of there's a singer called Anne Lorne Gillis who was very popular in Scotland, and she did a lot of Gaelic singing, and I think encouraged a generation of singers to celebrate that part of the language and that part of the music. So people like Julie are carrying on the sort of vocal part of the Scottish tradition.
Well, we better let you play your last set, or we won't let you get it in. What are you going to do? These are some of your own tunes.
These are my own tunes. I'm going to do three of my own tunes taken from the latest CD that I made back in Scotland. The album is called Secrets from the Kitty, but these three tunes, the first one's called All Right With You, followed by a tune called Granny Bell's Reel. And the final tune is called Snow Reel. And Snow Reel was actually written when it was snowing in Scotland. But Snow Reel is also an expression of disbelief in Glasgow. It's no real, or it's not real. Snow, Snow Reel. So those are the three tunes. The other two tunes, All Right With You, is dedicated to Fiona, my... lovely girlfriend back in Scotland, and Granny Bell's Reel is dedicated to Fiona's Granny Bell, and
so it's all in the family.
It's all in the family, yeah.
Okay, Alistair Savage live in our studio here on Live and Local. Thank you. A surprise ending. Three tunes composed and performed live in our studio by Alistair Savage here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear those tunes in trio form with his colleagues in a CD called Secrets from the Kitty, recently out. That's spelled K-I-T-T-Y. He happens to be in town to perform Baroque music with the Scottish Ensemble and trumpeter Alison Balsam at the Cranert Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 7:30. You won't hear this kind of music on that program. But, you know, Baroque music, not all that unrelated. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks, Alistair, very much for coming.
Thank you for being here.
Pleasure to hear you. Stay tuned for music from another Scottish performer. She is singer Julie Fowlis, who will be performing in Bloomington Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. That's a song that has to do with a big bonnet, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the Scots game. There's one of the songs that we might play or might not play that I actually wrote down a pronouncer for myself. Julie Fowlis performed. She'll be in Bloomington Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. She's my guest this portion of Live and Local. So what made you decide to perform mostly in this ancient language, which, as you said, is spoken by so few people, even in Scotland. Does that include yourself? Were you raised in this language?
Well, I was lucky enough to be raised in the Outer Hebrides, or the Western Isles, as they're often referred to. These are the islands, the string of islands that lie about 40 miles off the west coast of Scotland. They lie on very much on the edge of Scotland, but on the edge of Europe also. So it's just a wild Atlantic after the Hebrides to the west. And because of their geographical position, that in many ways is why the culture has survived there so long. It was kind of, the culture has been, has suffered over many hundreds of years and been pushed to the extremes of the country and has survived out in those, I guess in an outpost, if you like, and it's the last place in Scotland, the last place in the world where you will hear Scottish Gaelic spoken on an equal par to English. And so I was raised in a community where bilingualism was completely normal. People spoke two languages. They went from one to the other, you know, just in a heartbeat, in the blink of an eye. It was almost like you didn't differentiate between the two. Gaelic was always the more... my mother's side of the family are all native speakers, so to me, Gaelic was my mother's side of the family. They all speak to one another in Gaelic all the time. My father's side were from the mainland and didn't speak Gaelic, and so obviously we were brought up in a bilingual household. And when I was younger, I grew up in a time where there were no provisions for formal education through the medium of Gaelic, and that has changed now. And I have two daughters. My oldest one is three. She goes to school in a year's time, and she already goes to a kind of preschool through the medium of Gaelic. And so Gaelic to her is very, very, it's completely normalised. It's, you know, we speak it as our first language at home. And so she didn't learn English till she was two. Her first year of language skills, it was all through Gaelic. And it wasn't until she was after two that she started to kind of, she was understanding English, but she kind of started to process and speak the English language as a second language. She goes to school and she goes to playgroup and everything all through the medium of Gaelic now. So it's very normal for her. It's in all these different places. Whereas when I was growing up, it was really only kind of in the home so much. You didn't really get to hear it. There, you know, there was no education, formal education system, as I've already said. So there was perhaps more of a stigma attached to speaking the language. It's still, I think when I was much younger, it still wasn't the kind of the thing to do, the cool thing to do, to speak Gaelic. And I think that's changing now in Scotland. There's a real attempt and respect for the language, and that has always been there, of course, but that is kind of gathering momentum, I think, and gathering support and gathering pace as the years go on, and it becomes more and more urgent that we all stand up to protect the language because it's in such a precarious state.
My guest is Julie Fowlis, who is going to be performing a program of music of the Scottish Isles in Bloomington Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Thought we'd hear something a little different from, different anyway from the one we just heard. This one comes from your more recent album, just a few years ago, called Uam, which, does that mean from me? Is that
it
the
does.
Translation?
Yeah, I kind of I remember when I chose that title. Gaelic gets a, or Gaelic as it's often referred to at home, you know, it gets a hard rep sometimes. You know, for you need like several Gaelic words to cover like only two English words. You know, we get a hard time for that sometimes, and it's not always the case. And this time, I want to show that those three letters Uam means from me. So it's actually, it's shorter this time in Gaelic, not not in English. You know, we can say things succinctly also. So so that was the title from that track, and it was, I guess, it's the album, sorry, and I guess it was also inspired by the tradition of passing on songs from one singer to another, and the way that the tradition at home is shared between older singers and younger singers, and songs are learned and honed and practiced and perfected and then passed on to the next generation from one person to another. So I guess that was inferred in the title also from me.
The song I thought we'd play translates roughly as "I was born in the midst of the sea," particularly a beautiful one. Sounds like a ballad, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful song. It's a stunning song. And a song, funnily enough, that's not from Scotland, not even from Ireland, but from another country or region that is historically connected with us, certainly linguistically. This song is from Brittany in the northern regions of France. And, of course, the Breton language is way, way, way back, has a connection to Scottish Gaelic. You have to go back quite a long way. But the connection is there. And it's a stunning song that was written in the traditional style, Breton style. And we were asked to translate this into Scottish Gaelic for a festival that we were performing at in the beautiful town of Quimper, probably way back in 2008, maybe 2007. And we just fell in love with the song. We fell in love with the melody. It's very, very different to Scottish melodies. But in seeing that, the lyrics and the feel and the message of the song is very much like something you would hear in a Scottish Gaelic tradition. So we translated it to... it was originally called Mes Ogonei e Cres Amor, which means I was born in the midst of the sea. And in Gaelic, it's called Rukuk Mi Cheshme An Namara.
The song was called, well, in English anyway, I Was Born in the Midst of the Sea, sung in Scots Gaelic, translated from the Breton language, from Brittany, and performed by Julie Fowlis here on Live and Local. She's going to be singing music of the Scottish Isles Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. She's with us here on Live and Local. Currently in Madison, Wisconsin, on this American tour.
And in a thunderstorm.
Oh, are you right now?
Yeah.
Well,
we're
not picking it up.
Oh,
so
good. I'm far away from the window.
We had plenty of that here yesterday, that's for sure. Well, yesterday, as we're having this conversation anyway.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your approach to children. You mentioned that you've got children now, young ones, and of course they're learning the language. And you told me before we actually started to record this interview that you had just finished a workshop of sorts for I guess grade school children,
mm-hmm.
And I wonder how they take to the language and to this particular music, and what sort of things do you do with them?
Well, I mean, today we were very lucky to meet a group of students who are choral students. So they're music students, they're singers, they have an interest in song. So in some ways, you're way more than halfway there. You are already speaking to very engaged young adults who already have a great respect for vocals, for singing, and who are probably, by studying music, already interested in different styles of singing and interested in learning about it. So it was a great pleasure to be amongst such a talented bunch of young adults today.
Sorry, was this college kids then?
We call it high school. Is that like element?
Like, 16, 17. Yeah, that would be high school.
High school, yeah. So it was really good fun, kind of explaining to them, sharing a little bit with them, some of the music and the songs, where we're from, and a bit about the language, and they seemed very interested in it. And just like high school kids at home, there's always a little bit of reluctance at the beginning to kind of raise your hand and ask a question and single yourself out amongst the crowd. But by the end, we sang some songs together. I taught them some Gaelic language and we did some singing together, and that is an incredible way to break down barriers very, very quickly. And then all of a sudden, these questions start coming thick and fast about the different things that we'd been doing. And, of course, Brave came into that too. And so it was a really fun morning. And it's something that I like to do. And it's very very satisfying being able to share a little bit about what you do with kids who are so open-minded and at such a great stage of their life. And hopefully you can try and inspire them to follow whatever they want to do, not necessarily what you're doing, but... one thing that I always say is, when I was at school, I didn't get to study what I really wanted to study. I couldn't study traditional music. It wasn't available as a first study an option that wasn't recognised in the formal education system, as was neither was Gaelic, you know. So my two big loves of Gaelic and music, neither were recognised really in the formal education system, it just seems ironic now that that's what I've spent my life doing and performing, you know, since that time. I hope that just, I guess, by meeting young adults like that, you can just inspire them just to follow whatever they believe in and try and chase the dream.
Well, I thought we'd go out here with a song that I think illustrates something that I've sort of observed about at least listening to Scottish Gaelic, is it seems to me to be a rather percussive language.
Yes.
That's not what I mean. I don't mean percussive. I mean rhythmic.
Oh, no, it can be. No, you're right. It absolutely can be. And especially with some of the Portobello singing, the mouth music singing, and that was, again, it was all about the rhythms and things. So.
Yeah, so really rhythmic sort of thing. And I think this song, again, translation, there's two songs, I guess, combined. I Have New Shoes Tonight and The Cat and the Dog.
Yes.
And you're in the latter. Is it you playing the whistle and the flute?
Yes, I'm playing a whistle at the end of this track, and I'm singing as well.
Well, it's wonderful to hear you and to talk to you. And
thank you very much.
And best of luck with finishing the tour. And as Julie said, she's actually completing this current American tour Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. And go out and see it if you can. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Tonight at 7 on the evening concert, it's the Los Angeles Philharmonic. Guest conductor Myron Alsop leads the group in Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony, Barber's Second Essay, and music by Osvaldo Golihoff called Azul for cello plus percussion and hyper accordion with orchestra, of course. That's the evening concert tonight at 7 on FM 90.9. Our programs are made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available and at 352-9713. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning until 8:30 tonight for southeastern Champaign County, southwestern Vermilion County, and Coles, Douglas, and Moultrie counties in the WYLL severe weather coverage area. It is 61 degrees at 4:59. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR. Otherwise, we expect showers and thunderstorms to continue this evening and after midnight. The low of about 40 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Much cooler, the high 48. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.